Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of A Good Drop, where every other week or so we inspect various materials under a very strong microscope to discover the drinking qualities of various substances.
Yes, that's right, except that we don't have a microscope, so we're going to be using sparkling white wine to test whether or not the quality of the glass makes a difference to the flavour of the beverage.
Indeed. I'm Stu.
I'm Michael.
Cheers.
Cheers.
What are we drinking? What are we testing with?
Yes, so we are, as I said, we're testing with sparkling white wine. And I'm going to have to go get it.
I was wondering about that. It's a hot day in Australia, so it's kept in the fridge until we were about to use it. Pour it, if you will. Yeah. This question's been floating around our brains for a while, and we thought, yeah, now's the time, because I think thanks to last episode, or one of the last episodes, we thought about this question again, and here we are.
Well, yes, since our very first glasses test on sparkling white wine and the shapes of glasses, we wondered, was the quality making a difference as well?
Mm.
Because, of course, the glasses we used in that test were not only different shapes, but also different qualities of glass.
Yeah. So today we have one of the cheapest ones we could find. I think it cost about $2 a glass, if that. Maybe a dollar. We have glass that is not super cheap, but not expensive. And the other two glasses, one is a high quality crystal, and the other one is a crystal of dubious quality.
Yes, lower quality crystal glasses. Hmm. So they're still crystal, which makes them still better quality than the non-crystal glasses.
Well, so we think.
So we think, yes.
Hmm.
Yes, so because theoretically it's the impurities that make the difference, and crystal tends to have less of them.
Hmm. It's supposed to have a smoother surface area. So, especially with bubbly, with a fizzy drink, those the CO2 that's mixed into the liquid has to escape somehow, and it does that by finding a starting point for a bubble to form, also known as a nucleation point.
Yes, which is generally imperfections in the glass.
Yeah.
And it's something that you see very quickly and very readily when you pour beer into any glass at all.
Yeah. Sometimes there's lots of bubbles stuck to the side of the glass. Sometimes you've got almost no bubbles and just a teeny tiny little stream of bubbles coming up from the bottom.
Yeah, and that's, of course, all originating at the nucleation points,
mm,
the imperfections.
Yeah.
So what we are drinking today,
to test these, the amount of impurities, I suppose.
Yes, is the Yarra Burn Vintage Yarra Valley 2017 Bottle Fermented Sparkling White Wine. I'll read the back because it doesn't tell us a lot. Well, it's a Pinot Noir Chardonnay Pinot Meunier.
That's the champagne trio.
Mm. Yes.
Even though this isn't strictly champagne.
Yes, it's not calling itself that. And it's not even saying that it uses the Méthode Traditionnelle. But it clearly does, because it's using those three, and it's telling us it's bottle fermented. Mm. But it says on the back here, Yarra Burn Yarra Valley Vintage Sparkling Wines are crafted from grapes sourced from premium cool climate vineyards on the slopes of the Yarra Valley. a powerful and rich palate expressing flavors of grapefruit, honeycomb, and brioche. Built around a firm, acid line, this elegantly structured wine exhibits great persistence and a dry, fresh finish.
Should be pretty good. Does this say Brut on the front?
It does not.
So, possibly sweeter than our last set of bubbly.
Yes, quite possibly. It does not warn us that it's dry. Mm. But it doesn't seem to be doing a lot of things the traditional way so far as labeling.
True. But, you know, it's Australia. They have to, with certain things, they have to follow the designation of origin.
Yes, and as long as they're not calling it champagne, they can basically do what they like.
Oof. Hey, no blown channel this time. Amazing. All right, so as Mikkel pours the glasses, so Mikkel's going to start with the cheapest ones first, and I'm expecting a lot of bubbles, and so he's got to stop. I was right. There's quite a lot of foam to start with, and then it just dies away. There's a lot of bubbles coming out of the side on these ones. But for what I paid for these glasses, for what these glasses cost, there's surprisingly few bubbles, actually. And then for the second lot of glasses, even more fizz. There was a good 4 inches, nearly almost to the brim. Before Mikkel stopped pouring. And he's not exactly sloshing it in, he's just pouring it. And the first lot of crystal glasses, whoa, that's a lot of fizz.
I just accidentally sloshed that one.
Oh. Did you though?
That's a lot of fizz.
There's maybe an inch and a half in the bottom of the glass and it's fizzed all the way up to the top when he's poured it. Wow, that was an unexpected amount. I was not expecting quite so much. We are almost certain that this is high quality crystal. So, oh wow. So these are fizzed even more than the other glasses. Holy moly! So this is. This is unexpected. I thought it would be the other way around. So, in terms of fizz, actually the first one, our first initial cheapest glass, that one seems to have the least amount of fizz, the least amount of bubbles coming up so far. There's about 3 or 4 individual, I suppose, bubble streams coming up. Our second glass, there's a stack. It's fizzing from almost everywhere.
So I guess what's interesting is what we had thought about nucleation points may not be the case. And I remember when we were doing our sparkling white and champagne episode, we did say you want the fizz. You want it to fizz. It's where the flavor is.
Yep. Well, the science about nucleation points is that the bubbles need to start somewhere. But maybe our theories about the crystal having fewer nucleation points was wrong.
Well, and it probably was. Look at the shape of them.
Mm.
The other ones are perfectly smooth.
Smooth on the outside, as well as on the inside.
As well as on the inside, yes.
But the other ones are still... They still look smooth on the outside. Sorry, on the inside. They still look smooth on the inside.
And they are, but I think, like, if you were to run your finger across the inside of the glass where the markings on the outside are, you can actually feel slight variation.
Feel some ripples.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And potentially, that may be why they do that because you want some fizz, and potentially with a perfectly flat crystal, you lose it entirely.
Interesting. Well, so yeah, we were entirely backwards. The cheap one has almost zero fizz, and the our expensive one, or our high quality one, has a lot of fizz. I'm looking at your glass, your high quality crystal glass, and it's bubbling away furiously.
Yeah, so we definitely had the quality thing backwards for this. Yeah.
However,
well, backwards for bubbles.
However, yeah. Remember when we did the glass shape taste test with the bubbly?
Yes.
And the champagne saucer or the champagne bowl had almost no bubbles at all.
That's true. And it was also a high quality crystal.
Mm. So perhaps because it had an already large diffusion area for the wine for the smell to diffuse, it didn't need the bubbles to push the smell up.
Yeah, so they hadn't designed it in that way. Because as we know, these glasses are purpose-built to give you the absolute best out of a sparkling white wine.
Yeah, these are all specific champagne flutes or sparkling bubbly glasses, whatever you want to call them in your local area.
Yes, but putting that aside, this is not just about what difference does glass quality make to sparkling white wine. It's just that sparkling white wine is the only sort of glass where there's not an immense amount of variation in size and shape.
Mm.
So the only way we could manage a relatively fair comparison for glass quality while taking the shape largely out of the equation, champagne flutes.
Mm. Makes sense to me. Shall we taste?
Yes, let's.
Cheap to expensive?
Oh, I think we should, because then we can pick up the extra things that weren't there before. Mm.
Okay. Let's get the cheap ones.
So let's start with the nose.
It smells pretty good, though.
Yeah, it smells quite sweet.
It really does. And but like a sweet... But it smells more like a dessert wine, though, don't you think?
Yeah, it smells sweeter, a little bit floral.
I suppose I'm picking up a little bit of that honeycomb that they were talking about. I don't know about any brioche, though.
Yeah, no, certainly not on the nose, not out of this glass, but I guess let's see what's on the palate.
Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers.
Clink's okay, I guess. Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, quite nice. I'm getting some fruity flavors, a little bit of tartness.
It's very bubbly in your mouth, though.
Yeah, excessively so. Almost like by not releasing those bubbles in the glass, as soon as it gets into your mouth, it assaults you.
Mm. What do you think? Does it pass? Does that glass pass the test? Would you drink that wine again out of that glass if that was your first impression?
I think I probably would. It's pleasant.
Mm.
It's sweet. It's not overly tart.
Yeah. Not bad. I am struggling picking the quality of the wine out of that glass, though.
Yes, it's difficult. You can go, yeah, this is a pleasant sparkling white, but it feels as though if you were to pour a $10 sparkling white in there, you'd go, yeah, this is an okay sparkling white.
Yeah.
Like, it may be a glass that levels the playing field.
Like the highball?
Yeah, like the highball, which just makes everything taste like crap. Except for a Collins highball, of course.
Yeah. Or other highball-style drinks. Shall we move on to the second?
The second. First, the nose.
Ooh, that smells different.
Yeah. Now, we should start by mentioning, of course, that this one is slightly wider.
And a little bit shorter than the first. But the glass, I suppose the glass itself is thicker.
Yes. And it is definitely fizzing more than the first was. That is visibly obvious. But on the nose, it smells, I don't know, very different.
I'm picking up more honeycomb, and you can almost smell that brioche now.
Yeah, so much honeycomb. The more subtle things are coming through. It's not just an overwhelming scent of sweetness, which was largely what you got for the first one.
Yeah.
Sweet with a little bit of floral. And here it's, yeah, the sweet is still there, but there's more subtle undertones to it.
I have to smell the first one again. It's so totally different. I don't know why this keeps blowing my mind, but it really does. It's the same wine, and it's just a totally different drink.
Yeah, literally every time we do a glasses test, we are blown away by it.
All right. Shall we taste?
Yes, let's.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Slightly better clink sound too,
which
is always good. That's important for some people. It's important for me.
Oh, that's different too. It feels less tart.
Yeah, a little bit less tart, and the bubbles are not so tongue wrapping.
Yeah.
I'm getting a little more bitterness though.
A little more, but I'm actually tasting that honeycomb.
Yeah.
It's subtle, and it seems to come a little bit later in the flavor profile, but it's just barely there.
Yeah. So interesting. So immediately we can already tell that there's a difference in quality.
Yeah, because we're picking up more of what it was. And I mean, naturally, if you've got a cheap, simple, sparkling white, it doesn't really matter what you drink it out of.
Hmm.
Or a cheap, simple anything, it doesn't really matter what you drink it out of. But what we want to know is if you've gone that extra yard for something that has some complexity, so far it's looking like a better quality glass is going to get you more bang for your buck.
Yeah.
Well, let's try the next glass and see what that tells us.
Onto the first crystal. It doesn't smell that different.
I'm actually having trouble smelling it at all.
It's gentler, actually. That's what's different about it.
Yeah, it is really gentle. That's it. Because when I really get my nose in there, I can see that those same scents are there, but it's all very subtle.
Yeah. So if you smell that last one again, you can almost smell like a grape skin flavor to it. That's not there in this next glass.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I'm not getting that at all. I'm still getting that honeycomb.
But it doesn't smell like there's a bit of bitterness to it.
No, so I'm curious to see if there's bitterness in the palate.
Here we go then. Cheers.
Cheers.
Ooh, good sound. Whoa.
That's a whole new wine again.
Still a little bitter, but the rest of it has smoothed itself out.
Oh, yeah. And I'm picking up a lot more of that honeycomb now.
And that strong brioche smell that we got, or flavor we got from the last one, has mellowed itself a little bit, I think.
Yeah, and there's a very subtle fruitiness, but it's all kind of blending and balancing out.
It's a much smoother drink out of that glass. How fascinating. Sometimes I feel like we're just talking crap. Because how could the same drink be so different from four different glasses.
Yeah, and four different, not so different glasses. When you look at the basics of them, they're not so different.
Not really.
And yet they are. When you get down to the nitty gritty.
Yeah.
Or nitty lack of gritty, as it were, with the crystal.
Yeah. All right. So we have to try this last one now then.
Oh yes.
We can't stop here. This is glass country. All right.
Oh, let's smell first. We nearly got carried away. I just dug straight in. I'm excited for this one. Oh, gosh.
Possibly it's even smoother again. It's really smoothed itself out.
Yeah. I kind of wish it wasn't allergy season and that I could smell things at their absolute best. It's not like I can't smell it at all, but, you know, I've really got to stick my nose in there to get the full detail out of it.
Yeah. Ugh. It's been raining for about 3 weeks straight in Queensland, and it's just gotten sunny, and all the plants are like, whee!
Yeah, so literally everybody is congested.
Yeah.
Ever so slightly.
it's a bit nuts. But we can still smell a huge difference between each different glass. And this last one, yeah, smells the best yet. So, you know what needs to happen, Mikkel?
We need to taste it.
We need to taste. Cheers.
Cheers.
So, I think I understand why these glasses fizzed the way they did. Because now the bubbles are not so aggressive on your tongue in this glass versus the first one.
Yeah. And I think that aggression of the bubbles on your tongue, obviously, it kills the more subtle flavors.
Of course it would. And because it's pushed a lot of the carbonation out, but still left a good amount to feel, to know that you're drinking bubbly and not a semi-flat white wine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You still get the fizzy sensation. It still has that mouth feel and tongue wrapping effect.
But it's not aggressive about it.
It's not aggressive about it. And there is a lot of rich flavor coming through in this. It's almost a different wine again to the last glass.
But not that different. Like, you could probably get away with calling it the same wine in these last two glasses, but the first two, it's like night and day.
Yeah.
It's still wine, but you could be forgiven for thinking they were totally different wines.
Oh, yeah, the first two compared to the last two. I mean, first one, different wine to the second. Second, different wine to the third.
Yeah.
But the third and fourth, someone would look at you kind of sideways and go, yeah, I can see that.
So, the moral of the story is, I think, get yourself down to an op shop and get some quality crystal.
Yeah, absolutely. There's really no need to go to some high-end store and buy some, because there are a lot of estate sales going on all the time. And a lot of really good quality stuff ends up in op shops, especially when it comes to champagne flutes.
Yeah. Any kind of wine glasses, really. I got my decanter from an op shop for $10, and it's got to be at least $150 to $200 Italian crystal.
Oh yeah, it's a beautiful decanter.
But this is not a podcast about op shops.
No, it's not a it's about alcohol, and the easily the best recommendation we can make coming out of this is, if you want to be drinking quality, complex drinks and getting the absolute best out of them, drink them out of the absolute best you can get.
Yeah. Of course, the shape matters the most, but crystal or not, crystal or glass, that seems to make quite a difference.
Mm. Well, and I mean, between the two glasses, the two non-crystal glasses, certainly the quality of the glass made a big difference.
Mm. But between the two crystal glasses, the difference was still there, but it wasn't so great.
Yes. Well, yeah, I wouldn't say it was negligible, but it was much smaller.
Mm. Well, that's good, because crystal glasses are nice to drink out of.
Yes, they are.
And they look fancy.
Oh, yeah.
So fancy.
I have many, all from op shops. So there you go. That's on that revelation. That's really all we've got.
Yeah.
We are minds blown once again at the end of a glass test episode.
It's quite amazing. So if you liked what you heard, be sure to hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. We are A Good Drop, all about alcohol, on your favorite podcast app, including Stitcher, Spotify, Podbean, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, and many more.
Yes, you can also find us on the meta socials, Facebook and Instagram, as A Good Drop Podcast.
And if you want to check out our giant library of previous episodes, jump on our website, agooddrop.com.au, or if you've got any comments, questions, feedback, if you've got your favorite wine, crystal wine glass that you just love, send us a photo. Send it to agooddrop@gmail.com.
So be sure to tune in next time when we get back to beginner basics again with bourbon.
Long time coming for this one, I think. We've got a lot of American listeners, so seems fair.
Yeah, and with such a rich, bold flavor profile, knowing where to get started will make all the difference.
I think the answer is pretty obvious. It's the one you always rave about.
Tune in next time to find out what that is, or listen to all our other episodes.
Pretty much. Until then, cheers.
Cheers.